First, we are going to start with the opening comments. And we do that right in order the way you sit right now. Everyone has 90 seconds to speak. And it will be timed here by Kelly. So why don't we start with you, Commissioner Mielke, if you would please start with your comments.
Thank you. I'm Tom Mielke. I'm your current, one of your current county commissioners. My background is that I worked 18 years with the Ohio Company, had my own business for 17 years, served you in the state legislature, as one of your state legislators, for 8 years, and now 4 years as your county commissioner. I think through all the experiences that I've had, it kind of shapes your character. And it tells you what's really important in life, and I come to find out after all my experiences what the value and the quality of life is all about. I have 22 grandkids, six great grandkids, and that's what it's all about. It's about preparing your community for your family and joining your family and having them together. So it's really important that as a county commissioner that we do things to help bring our community together, provide jobs for those that want to stay here and have a quality of life that's safe for our family. Thank you very much.
And I'm David Mador.
Yes.
David Mador, and I am, first of all about relationships. Been married to Donna, my wife, for 35 years. We raised three loving daughters here in the Northwest, and actually, we've been here since 1990. We love it here. I expect that I'm in good company here, that each of you understand that life is all about relationships, and we are not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve others. If we really care about others, we're going to do something about it when we see them hurt, suffering, in need. We ought to get up and do something about it. That empathy, that compassion should move us to action. I love what I'm doing. We built our business out of our home for 33 years now. Actually, it was at about since 1979. And it is a wonderful activity. I love doing what I'm doing. And our focus has been making others successful. And that is something that we've been successful. We've been debt-free. We're healthy. We're growing. If you want a job, take a look at our website. We're still hiring. That model that blesses our community also is kind of isolated. It's kind of an exception in our community. When it comes to, I look outside our campus and I see so many people that are out of work or underemployed. And some of those people, their lives are falling apart. I can do something about that. I think that each one of us want to do something about that, but we have very different approaches. My approach is to focus on making others successful.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we have a timer.
I just realized that.
You guys have an advantage.
Tom gave away 24 seconds.
I don't yield my time.
Oh, okay. My name is Joe Tanner. I have lived in Clark County since 1979. My wife and I have been married for 42 years. And in fact, we only knew each other 3 weeks before we were married. So that's my testament to long relationships and good decisions. And we we're lucky to have our first grandchild just this year, and just turned 6 months. And so we're very happy. The reason we came to Clark County was many years ago, after I finished school, was based on a pure quality of life decision, but not just quality of life. Where did we want to raise children? And of course, it's been one of the best decisions that we ever made. I served in the State House and the Senate, and I was the founding president of the Columbia River Economic Development Council. And during that period of time, I was motivated, really moved to do that just as I am now, because the county was really in trouble and needed help with jobs. My slogan is, it's all about jobs, and that is really my focus. I believe that if you want to address the breakup of marriages, drug abuse, child abuse, and many other ills in society, the best way to do that, or at least what I can do best, is create jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Mark Bolt. 1954, my dad
and Mom went to St. Joe's in Vancouver to actually have to deliver me. They said, are you Catholic? My dad said no, so I was born in Memorial. That's kind of where our community was. I was raised down here a few miles, went to Evergreen High School, and it's just a privilege to serve you all. I served with Senator Benton for 10 years in the state legislature. One of our key things that we helped worked very hard was welfare reform. People said it could not be done, and we worked very hard on it. There was a provision that Senator Benton and I worked very hard on, and it was to let faith-based organizations contract with services. It had never been done before, and that provision still stands today, and we're one of the leaders in the state. In 2004, I was privileged to come home and be your county commissioners, and I've kind of taken that to the county, where we are really favorable of working with faith-based institutions, regardless of where you are. You know, government can arrest people, put people in jail, but government is really not made to serve like you're made to serve. So that is why we're a team member, and I'm just privileged and honored to work with you all.
Very well. Now we're getting to the, thank you very much for your introduction. Now we're getting to the questions, and Woody will put the question in a second. Commissioner Bolt, since you have the microphone right now, why don't you start with answer the first question, and then after that it will be Mr. Tanner, and then Mr. Commissioner Wilkie, and then after that
My sympathies go out to all of you, and here's why. That guy right there is a transplanted German, and I'm a transplanted Southerner. So you're not going to understand everything you say. And so therefore, if you raise your hand, I will back up, and then I'll go forward. Okay? Is this thing working?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, yeah. Otherwise, speak louder.
What should the number one expense or job of a county be, and how should it be paid for?
Well, first of all, county commissioners do two jobs, and we have always done that two jobs. That is for regional services and essentially roads. Both of them are really regional services. So that should be our number one agenda. Our major is regional services is law enforcement. That's what we serve every city and throughout the county. If a person comes into the law enforcement judicial system, it always happens through usually the sheriff's car or a police cars, regardless how bad they are, they always start here. So that should be our number one job of it. And we do a very good job of that. Our sheriff, which has endorsed me, realizes that we need to concentrate on the jail. We always have. As the population grows, we need to work on that, and we need to staff our sheriff's department wisely, not having a lot of sheriffs that don't really have things to do, but really do a land-based enforcement action, so we know actually now where the crime is, and we can place the sheriffs all with that. Also, transportation, and that is our second priority because we are a regional provider.
Excellent. Next, Joe Tanner, would you please answer the question, Mr. Simmons?
Thank you very much. By the way, I was born and spent my first 20 years in Texas, so if I need to translate afterwards, please let me know. Texan is a little different language. Number one and primary responsibility of Clark County, I believe, is public safety. The same as the number one objective of the federal government is national defense. Mm-hmm. Those are direct parallels. And the county is principally funded by sales tax revenue and property tax revenue. There are other sources, but principally, and of course, those are the sources of revenue that need to fund public safety. Having said that, and I don't think that needs a long explanation, I want to say that the number two job of the county is to create an environment where the private sector can create jobs. And that's what I think needs to be improved dramatically. and it needs to be improved in many ways, one of which is reducing the burden of regulations, but also to create a job-friendly environment within the confines of Clark County government. That's top on my priority list. I have a 5-point economic development plan, which is printed on the back of my brochure. I hope you'll have a chance to pick one up. Thank you.
There you go.
I'm next. I was just told I have to use the microphone because otherwise it will not be recorded. So next, Commissioner Murphy, would you please answer the question?
Thank you very much. That's a good question, and sometimes I think government has a tendency to rush over it. I think that there's other things more important. You got to take a step back. Public safety of all of our people is number one. Secondly, we always have a tendency to skip over and not take care of well enough is our most vulnerable citizens. Senior citizens, developmentally disabled people. That's our the society that we live in, and those are very, very high. How we pay for that, under today's scenario, here in Clark County in the state of Washington, we pay for that through our property tax, sales taxes, and use fees. We're very fortunate here, while we don't have the desired dream of number of deputy sheriffs that we would like to have, our crime rate is very, very low for our population. So that's a positive thing, something we say very, very positive about the sheriff and the way that mm-hmm. we run our communities and keep them safe. I think what else I could add to that. I think it's about that quality of life thing that we talked about. And you have to have a safe environment and neighborhood for what we live in. And that's how we get there, is taking care of our neighbors and pulling the priorities out first. Thank you.
David Madore, please.
Sure. I think there's a consensus here that the number one priority is to ensure that law enforcement is provided by the county. And the reason that I'm running is because I believe there's a new direction. We need to get back on track. Over the last 4 years, we've gone from 156 full-time deputy sheriffs to 135. Even though the county has grown, we've lost 21 deputy sheriffs during that time, even though the county budget has increased by $70 million. So the emphasis is instead of raising taxes, which is what we've done, over the last 3 years, instead of raising taxes for non-essential services, for non-essential projects like bus rapid transit with million-dollar super buses, with or light rail and those kind of projects, while essential services are cut, I believe we need a new direction. The second priority is to ensure that the environment for businesses are healthy, that we compete here. And we don't compete here very well. We are driving business out of this area. We have 50 to 60-some thousand commuters. I mean, we're over in Portland, across the bridge. That should not be. One of the reasons that we're doing that is because we stopped them at the gate with impact fees. We are only six counties out of 39 that charge impact fees. We are making a mistake by driving businesses away now with impact fees. We reverse those, get business back here in Clark County.
Thank you very much. So with the next question, before we're just going to read it, I would like to have answered in the following order. First, Joe Tanner, then Commissioner Milkey, David Madore, and then Commissioner Polk.
Thank you.
Interviewers always ask, what should be done to bring in business? The answer is often the same, cut regulations. What specific regulations need to be addressed, and how can you cut them?
Thank you. It is an absolute fact that there are regulations that need to be changed and must be changed. If I'm going to start at the top of the list, it's going to be the stormwater runoff regulations that were promulgated by the Department of Ecology, and they drastically need to be changed because Clark County is the most negatively affected county in the state. And that requires legislative action, and we're lucky to have many legislators and legislative candidates here today, and hopefully they'll talk more about that. I want to move on to some things that are more directly in control of the county commissioners. I have heard every single day for the last 8 months horror stories about the requirements, rules, and regulations that are imposed upon projects, mostly developments, through Clark County's planning department. I believe that that could be changed. And the attitude that seems to persist is that, well, heck, those are federal laws and state laws, and we just don't have any choice but to comply. I do not believe that. I believe that the legislators sitting in this room, our federal representatives, have the power to create change, and that if we lead down here and organize the support, a broad-based support, for the kind of changes we need, we will find those changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe Tanner. Next, please, Commissioner Mielke.
Thank you very much. Business friendly is a term that kind of used loosely, but you know, it's very, very broad. And it consists of everything from the cost of a permit, how much you want to be regulated, the impact fees, why do we have impact fees rather than some other fees, and regulation. Sometimes regulation becomes so business unfriendly. And those are the things, not only is the cost of doing business or the cost of the permit, but the requirements that go along with it, such as I need an 8-foot sidewalk, I need a safety fence, I need a buffer vegetation between there. Those are the things that we need to take a look at and back off. For the last 4 years, we have been starting through all the list of all the permits and reducing those charges by what we charge, by what we use them for. So in other words, do we need to go out there and inspect your project 5 times or 3 times? And what do you charge for that? We don't pull a number out of the air. We actually only charge for the services that the government provides for you. So many times, people always come to the government and they ask that you go pick up, I love to use the example, go pick up the dead dog that's out there. That's not free. Someone's going to have to pay for it. You pay for it through your taxes and your animal control people, or you pick up the dead animal and bury it out in your field. So the main thing they have to consider when you look at it, and be very, very careful what you ask government to do.
Very well. Thank you, Commissioner. David Mador, you're next. Thank you.
Okay, I look at free enterprise like an athlete. If you turn the athlete loose, they're going to do wonderful things, and that's what business would do in this county if we were to unleash them, if we were to open the floodgates to local private jobs. There are things that we should do and things that we should not do, and we're doing too many of the things we should not do. One of those things is that those impact fees are stopping them at the gate. They're confiscating the cash, startup cash, that many of these businesses would naturally have in order to get started. Every job counts. An example of that is Faith Baptist Church wanted to use their existing building to hire 4 teachers and an administrator, and the permit process to use their existing building was $120,000 because they're going to create customers on the roads. And that's asking an athlete while they're in the hospital to give blood. The Department of Ecology, best way to the solution to the stormwater is to get a new governor. And the solution to these rules that are being made is to elect representatives like Don Benton, who can take and make sure that those rules that are being made by non-elected bureaucrats come back to the legislature so they can be approved, and that way you have accountability.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, David. Commissioner Polk, would you please do that?
Thank you. Many times, you know, all challengers will say, you know, we want to cut all the fees for everybody, no impact fees. We don't have, and we should also cut taxes at the same time. And the story is you cannot do both. You don't build roads for free, and so you have to have some revenue comes in. The key is, yes, how we do it. As mentioned before, one of our biggest issues is stormwater. Yesterday, we finally come up with a solution, the 3 commissioners together and our staff, and we have a bill going to the legislature asking sponsors from both the House and the Senate for actually it's a two-word technical fix that isn't technical at all, but you can tell everybody else it is technical, so it will pass, but it will change us and it will put us on a level field with the Puget Sound, which is really needed. The other one is it's just the culture. I believe the three commissioners now really changed the culture of our permit, because as we all know, the frontline person, the attitude is everything. And the last one is also a relationship. Is the Building Codes Council in Olympia really needs to get together, take out the things that really impact our building, and get them out of here. And that's our relationship with the state legislature.
Thank you, Commissioner. So the next question in the following order, Mr. Madure first, then Joe Tanner next, Tom Mielke, and then Commissioner Mark Bolt, please. Thanks.
You want to charge me for this?
No.
Okay, good. Sitting on the CTRAN Board of Directors and Regional Transportation Council, you will have authority to make policy for public transportation. What is your opinion on the Columbia River crossing? Please be specific about light rail transit and bus rapid transit.
David Madure, would you please? Thank you.
First of all, I want to answer a question here. We can reduce taxes and we can increase county services. And the way that you do that is you create new wealth by welcoming new business into our community. It is possible. I've been doing that in our business for 33 years. It does work. We can either fund it with property taxes or we can fund the sales tax. I'd rather have this new business create new wealth for sales tax. When it comes to the bus rapid transit, which is Proposition 1, and the light rail, what we're doing is we're raising taxes for a non-essential service. Light rail is only appropriate for very high density areas. It does nothing for relieving congestion. In fact, the light congestion follows light rail because you have transportation funds that either go toward widening your roads or building light rail. And if you look at the 30-year experiment across the bridge, you'll see that light rail has already been built across three of those freeways there, the 84, the 205, and the 5, and it is a congestion disaster. So it's not appropriate. I'm absolutely opposed to light rail. It's not appropriate for our area. And the priorities would go to no longer these massive projects that are really serving like people, treating people like cattle. Rather, we can have a more practical model like Sandy that serves door-to-door in van service, and they do it for free, and it costs their community less because of their priorities, smarter priorities.
Thank you, David Madure. Joe Tanner, please.
Thank you. I'm really going to get right to the point here. I support use of bus rapid transit as a high-volume transportation method to Portland, not light rail. And the second part of the question is, what is your opinion on the Columbia River crossing project? That project can best be characterized as grossly mismanaged from start to finish. I'll give David some credit here. He normally refers to it as a criminal activity, and I instead prefer to use the term gross mismanagement. What I would have done, I helped you out, didn't I? What I would have done is find the four or five construction companies in the world capable of doing a design-build contract on that project, and I would have bid it out and see what they came back with in terms of proposals and cost. That wasn't done. So what was done? It was assigned to the joint effort of the Washington State Department of Transportation and the Oregon State Department of Transportation. Big mistake. I mean, what more can we say? They have grossly mismanaged the project from day one, and whether it gets built or doesn't get built, I'm not smart enough to say, but things need to change. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Mielke, you're next, please.
Thank you very much. It's almost an unfair question. As your state legislator, I sat on the Transportation Committee for all 8 years. also represented the Transportation Committee in the state of Washington with the Washington with American Legislative Exchange, where we met with other legislators across the United States to find out what would work and what doesn't work. I was also part of a delegation along with Senator Benton that met with the delegation with Oregon, and we were looking at that I-5 traffic problem. After 4 hours of labor over this with Oregon delegation, we come to the conclusion the corridor is full. It doesn't matter if you put 14 lanes across that bridge. The corridor will not handle it. We went to the Oregon Supreme Court not too long back. Basically what it was an agenda-driven light rail project, and they knew they couldn't sell that light rail project to the people. So they threw the bridge for the cars and trucks in as a caveat. That's what it was all about. So it's agenda-driven, and through that, it's been misrepresented. Yeah, I believe they should have gone to jail for what they've done. They spent $150 million of your money so far studying this bridge to the point now that it's really hard to turn it away. I think it's time to cut that umbilical cord. If you believe in the bridge, you believe in tolls. And you believe in tolls, you're going to support the light rail. Don't be fooled. You either support it or you don't. And I do not.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Bolt, please.
Thank you very much. First of all, it is the I-5 bridge, interstate bridge. And who in this room isn't here? It's our federal elected leaders. Essentially, it's amazing that when we went many years ago to do the I-5 bridge, they said, all right, we won't take action. We don't want to take authority. So we'll put a bunch of local people in the same room and gather their input. However, on the other thing, when we wanted to put our input in the national health care, they said, no, this is a federal issue. I kind of wish the other way would have been around. So they took the credit or they designed that bridge. Why they didn't design it is because we had to fight around it. And then they said, well, since you've come up with the design on your own, you try and figure out how to fund it. And that's how we have tolls. And so I believe that we can build the I-5 bridge without tolls, and we, as long as we have the federal money. Look how much federal money was spent on the stimulus package. Could have probably put 8 or 9 I-5 bridges in there, but no, they spent that stimulus package on other things. We didn't get very much of the money. The issue about light rail, I believe, and I've said to Senator Murray several times, if you're going to build the bridge with capacity for light rail so we could run bus rapid transit, and someday we may have it.
Very well. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being here at our forum. I really appreciate that. I'm pretty sure the audience has maybe some questions you may be able to answer down the road.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it for being here.